Before I get started and I give and I share the things I have been studying all week, I just ask of you one thing. I'm going to give you the opportunity, the easiest way to share your faith that you'll have all week. So take out your phones. We are live streaming from the Path Church. Take out your phones and all you got to do is hit the share button. You can do that for me? Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Hesitantly, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. We want to get the word out to as many people as possible. You know, a few weeks ago we finished our Blockbuster Summer Series and I preached on Moana, the movie Moana. You know, that video, because of you sharing it, has over 1,100 views on Facebook. And so that's over 1,100 people that get to hear the word of God. We had our prayer challenge, our 7-10 prayer challenge this past week. I gave you a challenge to pray for 10 minutes out loud, uninterrupted, for 7 days. How'd you do? All right, give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a round of applause. With that being said, we will continue our Moving Mountain series, and we are studying out prayer. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we love you so much, and we are so grateful for this opportunity to pray to you, to worship you, to have fellowship with your people. We thank you for our children that you have given us. Just being up there with the kids is just such an incredible feeling to see their pure and sincere hearts, to see the kids worshiping God, singing to God, excited about you and excited about church is such a special thing, Lord God. And so we love you for all the blessings that you give us, including our children, and so many more other things, God, that we take for granted sometimes, Father. But we pray that we will not take it for granted today, that we will rejoice in you, God, and that you will speak to us today through these scriptures and through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Big fight last night. Big fight last night. What'd y'all think about it? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Didn't watch it? Anybody watch it? Okay. I know we got some diehard boxing fans in here. Paulie V. McGregor, UFC man versus Mayweather, the money man. And it was a good fight. If you are a sports enthusiast, if you like boxing, that was a good fight. And, Mayweather did his thing as usual, and 10th round, he knocked McGregor out. You know, they had to stop the fight, so it was over. The ref had to jump in there and say, that's enough, you can't take no more McGregor, that's it. And that was it. Mayweather is now 50-0 undefeated. Many people will say he is the best pound-for-pound fighter of all time. All right? Now, I stayed up. I was hoping I can get a few nuggets because, you know, I'm an avid sports fan. And sure enough, the fight delivered. Sure enough, after the fight, McGregor was interviewed and he said this about Mayweather. He said, he's not the fastest. He's not the strongest, but he was composed. He was composed. And, you know, I thought about that. I said, what does composed mean? Composed means having one's feelings and expressions under control. It means self-control. For Christians, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so in our own fight, right, in our own spiritual battle that we face every single day, man, it is good to be composed. We may not be the fastest, we may not be the strongest, but through the Holy Spirit, we can be composed, we can have self-control. And then they were interviewing Mayweather. Mayweather said, he kept saying, you know what? They said, you came out a little slow. You came out this. You came out that. He said, that was my plan. That was my strategy. That's what we had talked about. We knew he couldn't go 12 rounds. He's only gone 25 minutes. It's 5 rounds of 5 minutes in UFC. And so that was, hey, let him get his big punches out the way in the early rounds. He kept talking about strategy. I said, wow, do we have a strategy for the spiritual battle we're in? Do we go into our days thinking about how are we going to succeed? How are we going to fight back? How are we going to make sure that we win the spiritual battle? You know, Mayweather executed it flawlessly. I hope and pray that after today we can get a little bit more of a strategy to make sure that we are successful. Because the truth is, all great fighters have a strategy. All right? For us, the spiritual battle, the fight, starts on our knees. All right? And that's counterintuitive. I mean, it's like, wait, we start on our knees. We got to fight. We got to do stuff. No, it starts on our knees praying to God. I love this scene in the War Room movie. The last scene when Grandma is praying her heart out to God. Let's show this video.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm. And will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
And the church said, raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Why was she so passionate about prayer? Why was she so committed about prayers? Because she understood what we all need to understand, that we are in a great and terrible war. Once we understand that, it changes everything. This fact that we are in a spiritual battle, it changes everything. This changes everything. That is the title of my message today, because once we understand that, it changes our expectations about life. It changes who we hang around with and who we don't. It changes our purpose, and it changes our prayer lives because we understand the spiritual battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Now, this past week, I shared about the challenge that we had, the prayer challenge, 7-10 prayer challenge, 7 days a week for 7 days, 10 minutes each day. And I don't know about you, but I saw the spiritual battle more active and I saw the attacks more active than I had seen in a long time. I saw illness. There was illness in our home. There was illness in other homes around the church. There was serious and intense battles with lust, with selfish ambition, with pride. There was, you know, a group of us challenged each other. He said, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to pray with our wives. And Coach Marino, who's here, he gave me the idea. Actually, he said, I want to pray with my wife for 7 days. Is that okay, Angel? I said, yeah, that would be awesome. And so we followed his lead. He said, let's do it. And you know what? Our marriages were attacked this week. Attacked. I'm talking about, man, I know of 3, 4, 5 marriages that went through some serious challenge, some serious conflict that for some is very uncharacteristic of their relationship. You know, I was one of them. Yeah, he got me this week. He got me this week. I was having a good day. I think this was Thursday. Then on the way home from one of my appointments, I forgot that my friend Sam, who I shared about last week and passed away, a police officer in the Kissimmee Police Department, it was his funeral on Thursday. And, you know, I had just stayed away from social media because I couldn't handle it emotionally. But I had got back on and I saw that was happening. And I was just an emotional wreck. I mean, I was struggling. I was reading the articles and I'm hearing of my good friends and they're in the news because they shared at the funeral. And so right after that, we had our staff meeting. That's when we talk about church. We talk about how to best lead the church. And we talk about the plans for the church. And we talk about the beautiful baby ceremony to make sure all that, baby dedication ceremony, make sure all that is good. And we talk about any issues that may come up in the church. And one of those issues I did not do well with. I got frustrated. And my wife shared a few things about what she thought about the issue. And I lost it. I got hot. I lost my temper. I was frustrated, and I had to apologize. I had to apologize. I was just so emotionally spent. You know, sometimes you're just so emotionally spent that the next thing that happens is just hard to keep it together. It's hard to stay composed, to have self-control, and so I apologized. And we did pray together that night, and we prayed together just about every single night. I think we missed one night, but we prayed together. The next morning, she actually prayed with another sister one of the nights. And so I saw it myself in my own life. The book Moving Mountains says this. There's a quote by John Eldridge. That's the book we're studying out together. It says, "We are all caught up in the midst of a collision of kingdoms. The kingdom of God advancing with force against the kingdom of darkness." That's what we are all caught up in today. That's what we are going through today. And this very fact changes everything. So maybe it was something about that we were attacking the gates of Hades with our prayer lives and Satan was upset. Or maybe it was just the fact that because we were praying more, we were able to see with spiritual eyes more clearly than we usually do. Or maybe it was both. I don't know, but the struggle was real. I kept thinking about the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And at the end of that, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not Eva. Well, maybe Eva too. Or whatever her name is. But I thought about that and I said, man, Jesus understood that the fight starts on our knees. And he was preparing his disciples to make sure that they're praying about this and crying out to God for deliverance from evil. We struggle with embracing this battle. We struggle with it. We want our lives to be good. I don't know about you, but I want happiness. I want comfort. I want heaven on earth. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be in a fight. I would rather be more like an amusement park. Oh, this is amazing. I'm in Disney World. That's what I would want. I don't know about you. But we're not. And what I realize is the problem is that many of us want to live our lives for Jesus, but we don't want to live the life of Jesus. Look over Matthew chapter 2. We may want to live our lives for Jesus, but do we want to live the life of Jesus? In Matthew chapter 2, you know, we read about how the life of Jesus actually started in the midst of spiritual and physical war. You know, unfortunately, we're fed this romanticized type of story of the manger and how beautiful it was and how amazing it was. Jesus was born into an all-out war. Jesus and his parents, Mary and Joseph, were literally on the run. they were being hunted by the king of Rome and all of his resources. That's what he was born into. In Matthew chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 13. We know that the Magi come, the three wise men, and they leave. And in verse 13, it says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, the wise men outwitted Herod, how it should be done, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi that Jesus was being born. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Thank you for that illustration. There was Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Do you understand what's going on here? Definitely not this. That's not what's happening here. They're in the midst of a battle. The king and all his resources were on a mission to kill baby Jesus. And when he was outsmarted by the wise men, he was furious. So he gave orders to kill all the baby boys, 2 years old and younger. He murdered them all. There's nothing more evil than killing children. Can you imagine that time? Can you imagine you being at home with your toddler who's learning how to speak, learning how to walk, and all of a sudden the Roman soldiers barge into your house and take your child and murder him? Your son, the one that's supposed to take on your family name, the one that's supposed to take care of the land and the family business, is gone? This is what they were going through. This was not a silent night. Yes, it was calm. No, I'm sorry, it was not calm. It was not bright, but it was holy. It was holy. It was actually a very dark time in history. And surely I would think, just from a worldly point of view, that Mary and Joseph deserve something a little bit better. Don't you think? You got these teenagers sacrificing their lives to parent the Son of God. Surely God would make it easier for them. Nope. He didn't. They had to fight. They had to listen to God. They had to be in tune with God. They had to listen to God's instructions in order for them and their families to be saved. I'm not talking about spiritually. No, spiritually. I'm talking about physically, literally. If Joseph was not in tune with God, his whole family would be murdered. He listened to God immediately. It says over and over that he heard the voice of God, the angel, and then got up in the middle of the night and left. Man, I love that obedience that Joseph displays. He listened and he obeyed. And have you ever thought about the fact that God would even choose two teenagers? They were teenagers. Probably 16 and 18, that's what scholars believe. Mary was 16, he was 18 years old to give birth to and raise God's son. You know what that tells me? Teenagers, I still call them, they're children. Teenagers sometimes can be more spiritual than adults. There's something about, man, as I work with teenagers, I am blown away. Yeah, they got their issues, but their hearts are still soft. Their hearts are moldable. They're humble. It's amazing. Teenagers, God has chosen you for a reason. God believes in you. He believes in teenagers so much that he allowed Jesus to be born a teenager. Surely that says that y'all could do amazing things for God, not just back then, but now. Amen, church? So we got to fight for our children. We got to fight for our teenagers. We got to fight for our grandkids. We got to fight for the children in the neighborhood, the children in our schools. We got to fight for them. We are in a spiritual battle for their lives and their souls. In the same way God entrusted Mary and Joseph, he has entrusted us, as Pastor Mike shared with us earlier. Question. Does your relationship with God mirror that of Mary and Joseph? Do we listen? Do we obey? That's what it's going to take to save us and save our children. This past week, we decided we're not just going to pray as a married couple, but Monday night is our family night. We said, you know what? We're going to pray as a family. We're going to bring Layla in to pray with us for 10 minutes. And I said, I really didn't know how she was going to handle it. That's the longest that she's ever prayed with us. And we set our little alarm clock, and me and Christina got on our knees next to her bed before she went to bed, and we started praying. She was in the bed halfway through the prayer. She joined us in the middle of us and got on her knees as well. And then when it was her turn, after her mom prayed, she prayed. And I cried hearing her heart for God. I cried hearing her, how she sounded like her mother. Her prayer sounded like her mother. I was like, man, this is so amazing. She's calling out to God, asking God for her sister's healing. She's thanking God. She's praying that we can be like Jesus. I'm like, God, this is incredible. This is so amazing. And I was so inspired that night. Can your children imitate your prayer life? Do they see you praying? Do they see you crying out to God? Is that something that's natural? Do they daily, that is consistent? Do they hear you? Do they see you? It's important that we set the example. You know, so that's the good part of the week. And then Thursday, after my struggles, and after I went off on my wife and had a bad attitude, I went upstairs. And I saw Layla reading a book upstairs. I thought she was in her room taking a nap. And I just realized she heard everything we were talking about. And I said, honey, I'm sorry. Daddy lost his temper. Daddy got frustrated. That wasn't right. And praise God, she loves to read. So she was really in that book. I don't know how much she really heard, but... But I said, you know what? I said, man, it was such a humbling experience, because that's not what I want her to hear coming out of me. There's a war raging for our children because they are our future. Satan would rather take them out while they are young, right, than have them grow up in the ways of the Lord. Are we teaching our children about the spiritual battle? Are we teaching them to fight? So many times we just want to take all of the bad things away from our children. We want to make life as easy as possible. And God's like, no, because he doesn't do that to us. He wants to mature us. And so are we giving them, our children, a chance to mature as well in Christ? Are we teaching our children to fight? Let me tell you something. Children are most affected negatively, not by their own attitudes or by their little friends or by their circle of friends. You know what? They're affected by the selfishness of adults. Their biggest room to fall is the example that they see in their adults that are around them. The selfishness of adults is at an all-time high. Adults feeling like they have the right to do whatever, whenever, and however. How many times do laws get passed thinking about our children? How many times do we think about the children's rights more than we think about the adults' rights? I don't know about you, but I think God calls us to make sure that the little children are taken care of. And so many times we are so selfish and our children are affected. And many of us in this room have been affected by unspiritual and selfish parents. Unspiritual and selfish grandparents. Go back through your family history and look at the cycles of generational sin. Parents that struggle and who are alcoholics. I had a counselor tell me that as the oldest son of an alcoholic, guess what? I have more than a 50% chance genetically to become an alcoholic. Somebody told me that you have, if parents struggle with infidelity, lust, impurity, sexual sin, sexual addiction, the chances of their children doing it are the same, and we think we're hiding it from our kids. And we're smoking weed, and we're smoking cigarettes, and we're getting drunk, and you don't think your kids see it? They're watching everything. They're watching you, and God holds all of us responsible for helping our children make it to heaven. Are we on the right path? Are we on the right path? Are we sacrificing our comfort? Are we sacrificing the things that please us so that our children can have a chance to make it? That's what it means to be an adult. And that's what it means to be a spiritual adult. I found this cool book, Praying Circles Around Your Children. I went, our daughter, our youngest, is going to a preschool at the First Baptist Church of Peachtree City. And man, that church is amazing. They had these books. I dropped her off. They had these books on the counter. There was nobody around. I picked it up. I looked around. The Lord has provided. It was so good. Next time I went to drop her off, there was one left. I took that one too. I said, they were the giveaway. They were the giveaway. I did ask the second time. But man, I love this book. And he talks about, in this book, about keeping a record of your prayers. One of the things that I want us to do this week, our challenge for us this week, is to write down our prayers, to make a prayer list, and write down answered prayers. How has God answered your prayers from last week, right? Right. So many times we forget that. Like, we don't even think, we pray to God, but then rarely do we go back and say, thank you. You did so much of the stuff I asked for, right? So here's some things, some practical things that they say. They say this. They say, keep a prayer journal, keep prayer lists. They said that him and his wife spent their dates, coffee dates, making prayer lists for the children, writing down the prayers for their specific prayers for their children. And one of the prayers that they ask God for is for their kids to have the listening ear of Samuel so they can hear God's word. Another prayer is Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so that's their prayer, that as their children grow up, that they will grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I love that. They did prayer posters. So identify words that are descriptive and prescriptive of your children. And put them up on their walls, right? And so, he did 9 words that were really prayers for his daughter. And so things like, man, God, you know, we're praying for our daughter to be pure. You put pure up there, strong, strong up there, confident, put strong. And they did like a little, art. And, you know, and she talked about later on how late at night she would look at those words and how it comforted her. I love that. Prayer posters. Lunchbox notes. Writing prayers as you give your children their lunchbox. Writing scriptures. Writing promises. All of these things are just very practical things that we can do. I love a prayer book. Having people write down, your closest friends and family, have them write down prayers for your children. Sometimes even before they're born, as they're babies, and you can give it to them. Read it to them maybe when they're going to kindergarten, or give it to them when they get married, when they're adults. Can you imagine? As an adult, reading the prayers that people prayed for you and then seeing how they've been answered, man, that would be so faith-building. Just a few practicals to go along with the spiritual conviction. Look over in Revelation chapter 12. I want to give you the other side of what was happening in Matthew chapter 2. I want to give you the other side of what was happening behind the scenes. Because we saw what was happening from the physical perspective. I want us to see what was happening from the spiritual perspective in the spiritual realm, because really when we pray, we are tapping into the spiritual realm. That's what's going on there. We are transcending just from the physical to the spiritual. Revelation chapter 12, in verse 1. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon and the dragon's angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heaven. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given 2 wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared to her for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. This is what's going on in the spiritual realm. And if this is going on in the spiritual realm for the physical story that we just read, I wonder what the spiritual realm looks like when we're being attacked at home or at our jobs, when Satan is attacking our relationships. What is really going on? You ever think about that? What is really going on behind the scenes? This changes everything. The woman here represents God's faithful people who have been waiting for the Messiah. The crown of 12 stars represents the 12 tribes of Israel. We know that Jesus was born Jewish out of Israel. The dragon represents Satan, which literally means accuser. So he's an accuser. He accuses us, right? He says he looks to devour. He fights back, it says. They went at him, but he fought back. It says he deceives the whole world. It says he leads the whole world astray. It says that he is filled with fury, angry, enraged. And he knows his time is short. So he is relentless, declaring war against all who keep God's commandment and maintain their testimony. War has been declared, whether you like it or not. Satan has declared war against those who follow God's commandments. He's coming at us with all he has. But it says that he wasn't strong enough then, and he's not strong enough now. You know, here's the thing. The Bible does not minimize Satan. It doesn't. He's described as a big and bad red dragon. He's described as a lion looking to devour. He's described as a snake. The Bible doesn't try to minimize who Satan is. Sometimes we try to, we ain't gonna give Satan no power. No, the Bible says you better recognize how strong and powerful he is, but we need to also recognize that God is greater. Amen. And it says a third of the stars that were wiped down that represents the angels, all of his demons. So God has his angels and devil has his angels, evil spirits. So the Bible says, 1 John 4 says, test the spirits. Not all spirits are from God. Test the spirits. And that's everywhere. I'm talking about test the spirit at your job, the spirits that are around, your coworkers, your friends, your family. Test the spirits. You ever go to a family reunion, a family gathering, and you leave there with something you did not come there with? You feel the energy in the room. You feel the attitudes. You feel the hurt, the pain. And you're like, man, what is going on? And even in the church. Even in the church, this can happen. Test the spirits. They're not all from God. Then the child, as we know, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who sheds his blood so that we may overcome. Praise God, we overcome. The truth is, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. It's not if we will win, but how we will win. And that's how the people of God in the Old Testament, most of the time they went into battle. God already told them they would win. You are going to inherit the promised land, but you got to go get it. It's just his plan. I don't know why. I may not agree, but there are a way things work. And that's part of it. God says, you got the victory, but you got to fight for it because I want to mature you. I want to help you to grow. I want you to help you become more like Jesus. But God says, I will give you everything you need to be successful. Do you pray like you're in a great and terrible war? Do you pray as though Satan has declared war against you and your family and your loved ones and your community? Do you pray like that? And do you pray like you're the winner of the war? Do you pray like you're the winner of the war? Not just, oh God, I don't know if you can do. No, we already won, amen. I want to share this last scripture with us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I've given you a couple of long passages. I'm going to give you a third long passage. And hopefully you can continue to follow along as we... I just want to make this last point here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10. And I want us to read. I believe the Word of God is powerful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is scheming. The devil is strategizing. He has a plan to take you out. Okay? So we got to make sure we have a plan. This is part of the plan. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That does not mean that God, Satan does not use people. Satan has allies, just like we are God's allies. Satan has his allies, okay? And so, in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Once again, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Satan is throwing flaming arrows at you. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray. Prayer is part of the spiritual battle. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. It says, be strong. It says, put on the full armor so you can take your stand, so you can stand your ground, so you can stand firm. God wants us to be composed, self-controlled, and to take our stand. When I think about this spiritual armor, I think about, y'all gonna make fun of me about my age, but I think about Rambo. My boy Rambo, and I gotta show this quick clip of my boy Rambo, First Blood Part 2. Man, I don't know why, but this scene has stayed in my mind since I was a kid, and when I read this passage, this is what comes to mind, because you know what Rambo's about. If anybody watched this movie, you know that he went through some hard times. He got beat up a little bit. He was tied up. Leeches were on him. He had to cut him off with that knife. Anybody remember he was on that mattress, that old mattress, and he was getting electrocuted. And so he had to go back to home base, and he had to recover a little bit, but he didn't stay there. He had to get back ready to go back out in the spiritual battle. Y'all stop laughing at me. He couldn't stay at home. He said, I got to go back out. I got a mission. And there is no doubt what Rambo was about to do. He was finna take some folks out by himself. He was finna take some folks out. There should be no doubt when we get ready for our day what we are about to do. This is what we should look like spiritually every single day. People talk about they have their quiet times before they go to bed at night. Okay. That's called rest and recovery. That's not called being prepared for the spiritual battle. And you will have to do more rest and recovery because you never got prepared in the first place. Get up, spend time with God, get ready to go to war because Satan is ready to take the attack to you. But it does say, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Always keep on praying for all God's people. So, keep praying at night. Hey, you can have as many quiet times as you want, but you better get ready in the morning before you go to war. For me, what I've started doing is praying through the armor. And I want to encourage you to do that. I'll pray through the armor. I say, God, I put on your helmet of salvation right now. You know, it's so good to pray through God's promises, His scripture. God, I put on your helmet of salvation. God, protect my mind, Father God. Please protect me from any evil thoughts, God. Please protect me from any thoughts that you don't want, any insecurities. Please don't let evil thoughts come into my mind, God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, God. Protect my heart and protect my soul. Please keep my heart pure. I pray through the belt of truth. I just go down the belt of truth, God. I pray, God, that you will help me be honest, that you will help me be real. I pray that I will think about your truth in spite of the lies that Satan is trying to pull at me, because that's the belt of truth. I put on fitted with the readiness of the gospel. God, help me to be ready to go preach the word wherever I go today. God, I take on the shield, God. I take on the shield today, Lord God, the shield of faith. I believe in you. I trust in you. No matter what comes my way, I know you got me, God. And I take up my sword, Lord God. I take up my sword. I'm going to get into my word. I'm going to be on the attack. I'm not just going to play, be on the defensive. I'm going to go on the offensive with your word and your Holy Spirit. And what was Paul's prayer request? He said, by the way, pray for everybody. But when you pray for me, pray that I may preach the word. Because Paul had a mission. That was being on the offensive. If you are not on the mission to seek and save the lost, you're not on the offensive. What are you doing? You're just on the defensive. You're just trying to stay pure. I'm going to say righteous, God. I'm just going to try to be a good person. No, that's not what we were created for. We're created to go make a difference, to save souls out of the clutches of the evil one. Paul was a soldier about his mission on the battlefield. So were Mary and Joseph, and they trained up a soldier by the name of Jesus Christ who completed his mission. And I hope and pray we will too. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion service. Dear God, we come to you, Lord, just so very grateful for Jesus Christ. So very grateful that you protected him throughout his life. And so very grateful that you were his strength that took him all the way to the cross so that he can die for us. We thank you that he embraced the spiritual battle, the physical battle for us. And he sacrificed himself for us so that we may have the victory. He lost. He went through it so that we can have the victory, Father. And I pray, God, that we will have a deep conviction about the victory that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God. Please open our spiritual eyes. Remind us of the battle that we are in. And thank you, God, for the victories that we get along the way, God. The moments of joy and happiness. But we know that it's still in the context of a battle, God. We pray for more victories. God, we pray that you will give us a deep conviction that we are winners in you, Father. We thank you for the body that was broken. We thank you for the blood that was shed so that we can be victorious, so that we can spend eternity with you in heaven, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more battle, where there will be no more fighting, where there will be no more temptations. God, we're so excited about that day to finally make it to heaven. But until then, help us to persevere in this battle for you, for our children, for our families, for our friends, for our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.